If I had a title this morning, we would call this little thought and message The Battle of the Hour. We have spiritual battles. And spiritual battles are necessary. They're expedient. They are very needful. Has anybody had a battle this week? The reality is that you won't get inside heaven without the battles.
Yes, that's true.
It is just simply part of His plan, His purpose. There's a scripture in Job that says, it's familiar, it says, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. We could insert there and say full of battles. When we think of also the scripture that says man must be born again, and we must. We could also say that man that is born of God, we could insert that same phrase and say is full of battles. It's part of the walk with God. It's part of life, the life of a Christian. It's just part of it. We need to face the fact that God allows battles in our life for His purpose. He's working something in us. He's shaping us. He's molding us. We may not feel it or see it at the time of the battle, but as we go through the battle, as we get on the other side of the battle, we can look back and see the hand of God, and we can see what He's trying to work in us. I don't believe that we would want to be deceived and think that we're going to get to heaven on a bed of roses. Everything's just going to go smooth for the rest of my life. The scripture indicates, and it doesn't necessarily say these words, but it certainly does prove to be true, that God has a tested and a tried people, and He does it through the battles of life, through the tests, through the trials of life. Battles, trials, they're synonymous. They go together. They mean the same. Sometimes in our little feeble humanity, we might indicate someone is a trial to me. Just a simple thing. And it's really not that big of a deal. But when you face the real battles of life, that's a big deal. Just for someone to be a trial to you should not be a great big thing. We should have grace for those little places. I like to think of that scripture, and I may not quote it just right, but I have the meaning. That if the swelling of Jordan, what are you going to do when you have the swell? If running with just the footmen, you know, this is just a little thing. I don't really count this a big battle, but it tries me. It affects me. And then I have something bigger like the swelling of the Jordan. How are you going to face that? Because there's going to be some battles of life that you're going to face, and you're going to wonder, will I make it through this one? Lord, help us. So I'm thinking of, and I just want to insert this to lay a little foundation of what the battle of the hour is. Because as I said that, you probably thought of what's happening in our world. I believe it has something to do with it, but I believe the Lord is wanting us to focus this morning on our personal everyday battles. But I do want to mention that there is a collective warfare going on right now that you're a part of, I'm a part of. We may not feel it every day, but it's happening right before us. And if we look over in the book of Revelations, which we're not going to turn and read, we'll find that in, it even gives the name of the battle of this age. It even gives the nature of this battle. The name of the battle that is a collective battle in all of the world, among the church, among the society, would be the Battle of Armageddon. And the world has this interpretation for that. But you know what it is? It's good for you and me to understand that battle. That battle is a battle of good and evil, right and wrong. Do you sense that?
Yes.
Do you see it in our society, in our world, in our country, that there is a great warfare between good and evil, right and wrong? We could even open our spirit, if the Lord opened our spiritual eyes, we would be able to see that there is a God, a force of God that is fighting against the forces of darkness and evil of our day. So that's all part of that. And you and I are participants in that battle as well. It is commonly believed that that would be the final battle of the world, the battle of right and wrong. But I want to say that this message that is a battle of the hour, we only gave you that portion of the final battle to just simply keep us awake and abreast, aware. And I do have a scripture that I want to end that thought with. It's in Jeremiah, the 50th chapter in verse 22. And this is what it says. And it says, the sound of the battle is in the land and of great destruction. So don't just ignore the fact that there is a spiritual battle that is being waged in the whole world, and that you and I could be affected by it. We are affected by it. But I want to use another scripture now as I speak to you of our individual battles. It's in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 5. And it is addressed to the warrior, a warrior, a soldier. And it says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments dipped or rolled in blood. Spiritual battles. Spiritual battles are so numerous that we would not be able to even name all of them today. We might not even be able to know all of the spiritual battles because they're so unique many times to each individual. But there are so many varied battles, V-A-R-Y-I-E-D, varied, various kinds, various purposes and effects. What might affect me and be a battle in my life might not affect you at all. What you face in your life, I might not even understand. I may not be able to relate to it. But God is looking in each of our lives. He knows us. He knows, like the song said, give me that which will help me make heaven. And God knows what will help you make heaven. So He allows a battle. What happens in these times? There is a work that is going on in your life. You don't quite understand it or see it at the moment, but you feel it. You feel God is working something. And He has only a good purpose in His mind or plan for you. Why do I know that? Why do you and I believe that? Because He has said it over and over. We have said it over and over. You have heard it thousands of times in your whole life. Oh, is that an exaggeration? I dare to say it is not. We have heard the scripture over and over. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. And so He allows these battles from time to time. These battles can be very perplexing. And as this scripture said, it is with confused noise. Hard to understand sometimes. This is one place that we will not use the scripture and quote it to ourselves and say, well, confusion is of the devil. God allows us to not understand things for a time because He's beginning something in our life to open up something to, He's like the potter. We're like the clay. He knows exactly what will work in my life, that I would be able to, well, I'll repeat it again. I've been saying it different times in the last several weeks. He desires that you and I be vessels unto His honor. Vessels that will honor His name in the earth. He has plainly expressed to you and me that we are to be the light of this world. Do you know you cannot even be a light without a battle? Because something's working in us to produce that light. We cannot be salt in the earth. I cannot season another person's life unless I have gone through some battles. Unless I have gained the victory in those battles, and then maybe I hear of your battle, and I can say, God brought me through that battle. He can give you victory in your battle. So He allows us to taste of these things and experience these things because He wants us to understand others and be a help. He wants us to be salt in the earth. He wants us to be that light. He wants us to be a help. We can only be that if we've passed through those battles. Spiritual battles are really, in essence, they're great contests. The scripture that we read, it said that there were garments that were rolled in blood. What that says to me is that there are sacrifices that sometimes happen with a battle. When a person rejects the grace of God to bring them through a certain place in their life, God has given you and me a will. We can receive it or we can reject it. He does not force us to even taste of his goodness in the battle. He will allow you and me to make our choices all along the way. And there have been those that have rejected the grace of God in the battle. Therefore, their garment would be counted as rolled in blood. A great sacrifice to give up in the midst of a battle. I failed to bring my 26 translations, but I wanted to give some other adjectives and other words to bring it a little closer to us, but I want us to turn and look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12. Very familiar scripture, because it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." You and I are not in a battle with each other. We're not in a battle with humankind, so to speak. But the scripture tells us that our battle is going to be with principalities. Our battle is going to be with powers in darkness. We rulers of darkness of this world. That's that collective warfare that is going on. That's where you and I are battling for truth and right and resisting evil and darkness, and we should recognize this is part of our battles. It says that we are battling against spiritual wickedness in high places. Maybe we even think that that means in the church. I believe it means in the whole world. I believe Satan has powers in the whole world that he is trying to destroy all of mankind. He may have his focus upon the saint of God, the child of God, but he is not satisfied. He wants all of the world, and he takes individuals in high places, and you can determine that in your mind, wherever you think that might be. But he's using that in high places of the whole world. It's still a battle to us. It can still affect us. It goes on down and it says, "Then wherefore take unto you the whole armor." If ever there was a time that you and I needed to be harnessed with the whole armor of God, it is now. We need the protection of every part of our being, what he provides. He says, "Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand in your battle." Recognize your battle. Identify your battle. I believe God is able to help us to understand why we may be in the battle and know how to fight it. He gives us weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds of the enemy, of darkness, of temptations, of fleshly temptations. We're in this flesh. Remember the message last Sunday. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this flesh, but we must walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. There is a war going on within us. You can be saved. You can be sanctified holy. You can be having the Holy Spirit in your heart and life and ruling, and yet you're still in your flesh. And you meet the flesh every day. You have a mind. You have eyes to see. You have ears that are hearing things that we shouldn't even be hearing. You're seeing things you shouldn't even be seeing. You have to make a covenant with your eyes. You have to look away. That's your job. That's part of the battle. Because we're still in the flesh. And you've got to recognize the battle and identify it and resist it. He gives us the power to resist the darkness. He says in his word what Satan is like. He's like a roaring lion going about, seeing whom he may devour. He's trying to devour you. The enemy will produce things in your life that will cause you to have a battle. But Jesus came to give us the victory. Yes. He said, be of good cheer. I overcame the world. And you can overcome the world. If Jesus overcame the world, you can overcome the world. The world can be a battle. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 35 and then verse 37. I'm going to insert some words for the sake of the message this morning. And it starts out and it says, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? If you looked in references, you'd find that the word what can also be inserted. Maybe there are individuals that would be a contest to you, and a trial and a test and a battle. There have been people that have fallen under bitterness and unforgiveness because of offenses. We've heard that message. But we don't have to fall under offenses.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But the scripture here goes on and it gives some suggestions, if you will, of what you can fall in the battle. And so it says, shall the battle of tribulation separate you from the love of Christ? What is tribulation? What is tribulation to you? Trouble, sorrow, grief, heartache, disappointment. You can put so many words in there and call it tribulation. Maybe it could be affliction. Can affliction draw you away from the love of Christ? It has for some people. It has happened. You resenting what God has allowed in your life. Why me? Why did God allow this affliction to come on me? Blaming God. Don't you know that there are people out there that blame God for their tribulations? So is the battle of tribulation going to be something that you will be drawn away from the love of God? Shall the battle of distress, anybody feel any distress this week? Are you familiar with distress? Don't you know what distress does to you in your physical body? In your mind? We're living in a world of distress because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it can be a great temptation to just give in to the distress. Remember the scripture that we used recently? that men's hearts were failing for fear of seeing what is coming on the earth. That's a distress. We need to look away from those things. We need not be under the distress that will move us from the love of Christ. Shall the battle of persecution... Oh, you know, we read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. We read about all that the martyrs went through in that age. And sometimes we draw back and say, I don't ever want to read that again. Have you ever done that? That distresses me to read about martyrs. And down through the ages of time, there have been persecution of the people of God. And it was spoken of even this morning in the prayer request, where there are people that are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, has it been suggested even from time to time, we may suffer persecution? You ever heard of that among us, in our services? We know not. Maybe in our imaginations we think about what that might be like or be. I had been reading Corrie ten Boom's book when a lot of the rumblings that were going on behind the scenes began to come to my ears. What do you think my imaginations were? What if I was in her place? What if? Would we succumb and give in and deny Christ if we were persecuted to the extent others have been through the ages of time? Well, we know that God's grace is sufficient when it happens. You cannot borrow grace. If you have, remember, God does not give grace for imaginations. Remember that? So we can have these imaginations, but what are we doing with them? Are we going to be so fearful that we, I couldn't go through that. You know, if God calls any of us to pass through the battle of persecution, He will give us grace. I wish I could explain the grace that God has given me in these past months. Yes. It was something I have never experienced to that extent. But it has let me know His grace is sufficient. Yes. So whatever the Lord allows to come into our life, our society, our whatever, we need to cast off the spirit of fear and darkness. Keep our eyes on the light. Keep our eyes on the one that can take us through those places. But let us not have the battle or succumb to the battle of persecution. What about the battle of famine? Oh, what if? See, it goes to imaginations again. What if our whole land becomes like a famine? We can look at some other countries that have fallen under this and that, and they were once prosperous, and now they're eating out of